Amen. Thank you so much. Great truth. Great truth in that song. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, if you'd look at it with me, please. And we'll look at verse 17 as our text, but we can't skip over verse 16. There's just no way we can do that. So that's one of the most favorite verses of a lot of people in the Word of God, and I'm one of those. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Look at verse 17 with me just for a moment. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." As you're studying the Word of God, apply sensible principles to the study of God's Word. Look at grammar. Look at sentence structure. Look at all of these things. After all, it is a literary document. It is God's thoughts, His words given to us. And so examine it in that way. I'd like to call your attention to something here as we get started. "For therein is the righteousness of God." That word "is," it's a verb, isn't it? What tense is that verb? Present tense. Present tense. You know, truly, the righteousness of God has been revealed. And the righteousness of God will be revealed. But I'm thankful that the righteousness of God is today revealed. I'm glad God is revealing Himself new and afresh to us every day if we just stop, look, and listen. If we will, by faith, ask God to reveal Himself through His precious Word, He'll do that. This is all by way of introduction here. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Those three words, faith to faith. That's the title of our study here tonight. And I trust that it'll be something that'll be a help to all of us. I don't like to preach something that isn't helpful for me. If a message helps me, then maybe it'll help somebody else too. And so I tend to try to preach messages and teach lessons on things that strike my heart and give a new vantage point to my Christian life for the Lord Jesus Christ and all of this. So I'm mindful of... I've never really seen this from start to finish. I've never seen a particular in an aquarium or something like that. Never seen a caterpillar, never trapped a caterpillar and put it in an aquarium and things. But I've seen enough about them, about how that caterpillar will find a place on a branch, and then it will form that chrysalis around itself. And then after an amount of time, emerging out of that chrysalis will come a gorgeous butterfly. It's like stages, and we see stages of life. You know, there's diapers to diapers and everything in between. Stages of life. And in our Christian life, a lot of people think they get discouraged when they get saved and they look around and they wish that they could all of a sudden be a spiritual giant like so-and-so who's walked with God for 45 years. And they just want to be some great warrior for God and someone who knows how to pray and get a hold of the throne room of God and all of this. I mean, right away, you know, there's some growth involved. There's some stages. And as I'm looking at this passage here, even this verse seems to indicate that very clearly. The Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God." Wherein? In the gospel. The Bible says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. "For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." For therein, in what? In the gospel, in the Word of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, what's it talking about there? I think it's very obvious that one of the clearest understandings of that would be someone has saving faith. They put their faith in Jesus Christ to save them, and they have saving faith. And we all know about the airplane and, you know, and stepping across and the trust and all that that takes place. The saving faith. But then the verse goes on to explain very clearly, for as it is written, verse 17, the end of the verse says, for the just shall live by faith. So there's saving faith, and then the saved believer moves to a living faith. You know that song that Lester Roloff used to sing, living by faith in Jesus alone. I wonder how many of us want to live by sight and not by faith. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if you want to give this a title, it's faith to faith. In other words, God wants us to continually grow. We hear this term, take it to the next level. Well, you could give that as a title as well. Perhaps God wants us to go to the next level in our walk with Him, in our faith with Him. And in order to do that, sometimes He has to make things uncomfortable in the level that where we're at, to force us to the closer walk with Him. You know, that's how Mama Eagles do it, you know? Mama Eagles will build that nest. And then they will feather that nest. And they'll put soft things that they find as they fly around, and they'll carry that, and they'll make that nest so soft and so tender for that little one. And then that special day comes when the egg hatches, and that little eaglet comes out. And she feeds that little eaglet and takes care of it, and it begins to grow and get stronger, and it understands that when mama comes back, you know, that beak's open, you know, and starts, I want it. Little by little, she starts removing some of that cotton and some of that soft stuff out of that nest. And then the feathers come out. And pretty soon, that little eaglet is there in that nest, and the branches of the nest are poking through. And it's uncomfortable. And pretty soon, that little eaglet wants to get out of that nest. Encourages it not to stay there, because there's greater heights for that little eaglet. And when she takes that little eaglet out on her wing and teaches it how to fly, wow, could you imagine the exhilaration? Perhaps God wants that for some of us tonight. Perhaps God wants to take us to another level of fellowship with Him. So let's look at some of these. And I believe that you'll identify, yeah, I know what that level's like. I've been there, or that's where I'm at right now. Maybe I can go to the next level. And so there are five that I'm going to share with you tonight. And I hope be a blessing to your heart. The first level of our walk with God is simply for the motive of simple obedience. God said it, so I'm going to do it. That's what the Bible says, so I'm going to do it. And that is wonderful. By the way, that is probably the basis for every other motive that we have in serving God. The song we sang, I will serve thee because I love thee. The basis for everything is what God says in His Word right here. That's a strong foundation, folks. It doesn't change whether it's fall or spring. It doesn't change whether the government says it's legal or whether it's illegal. It doesn't change whatever the peer pressure or the television says. God's Word changes not. So a great foundation is simple obedience on what God said. There may be some people who are sitting at home tonight. Perhaps they could come to church. Maybe on Sunday, you know, they might be tempted to stay home. We have live stream, and they might think, well, you know, I can just turn on the little computer, and I can watch it at home, and that kind of thing. You know, let's not abuse God's blessing. Let's not abuse God's blessing. You see, the Bible still does say, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so what I've always heard is when the church doors are open, we ought to be there. If we're able to be there, we ought to be there. Why? Because God said we should. We ought to be in God's Word, reading God's Word. We ought to be praying. We ought to be interceding on the behalf of others. You know, when you do that, your burden seems a little bit lighter. The thing that you got on your knees to pray about, if you start praying for somebody else, pretty soon that is just pushed way back in the corners and recesses of our own minds. Because we're doing what God told us to do. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. But you see, there's something greater. There's a more overarching motive that God wants us to move from. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says this. Says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there's things that God would lead us to do that are not specifically named in His Word. And so the Holy Spirit has to take those principles of God's Word, digest it into the life of the believer, and based on that, the Holy Spirit can guide us in every step that we make. You say, well, Brother
Mark doesn't say anything about this and such in the Bible, so I guess I can do it.
Wait a moment. Hold on. Have you not grown in the Lord?
Well, it doesn't say anything in the Bible, so I don't have to do it.
That's what we're talking about here. Serving God from our heart, it starts out with what the Bible says plainly. You've heard this, I know. The preacher who said, you know, it's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me. It's all the things that I do understand about the Bible that bothers me. So we have a lot to live up to. Simple obedience is probably the first level of motive of serving God. Why we do what we do? Because the Bible says to do it, and we simply obey. But now, beyond that, you know what? God wants to take us to the next level of this pyramid. The next level of this pyramid. And we realize when we obey Him, because that's what the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So, Lord, I've got to buy this car because I have to replace this car that died. It laid down on me. And Lord, I'm asking You now. I'm trusting You. Lord, You lead me and guide me. You know what we have to invest in this. And this is not a want. This is a need. Please, God, guide us. And when we step out on faith and say, Lord, okay, is this what You want me to do? This is how You want me to do it. And we sense God's blessing because we acknowledged Him and we trusted Him and we asked of Him, we depended upon Him, we relied upon Him. And then God blesses us beyond anything we'd ever imagine. You know what? Sometimes people get on the next level and they find God's blessings are wonderful. But let's be cautious and careful. God does not want us to stay on that level because we don't serve God because He blesses us. That's what Satan told God Job would do. Because You've blessed him, Lord, that's why he's serving You. Because You've given him all these wonderful material things and You've allowed him to have a wonderful family and a terrific job and all these things and his health and strength, and You let me take that stuff away and he'll curse You to Your face. But you see, Job was not living on the level of ulterior motives. He was beyond that. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20. I probably won't have time, but you remember Naaman and Elisha. Remember, and Elisha had a servant named Gehazi. And 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20, we find that Naaman was wanting to pay somebody for anyone who could get this leprosy off of him. I mean, he was going to be an honest dude about it. You know, he gathered up all the money that he had and things. He said, man, I'll pay good money. I heard that somebody in Israel, there's a prophet, and he went to the king and all that kind of thing. Well, after he was healed, seven dunks in the muddy river and all that. After he was healed, he came back out and he said, oh, here, let me give all this to you, Elisha. He said, no. No, I don't want that. I don't need that. That's not part of this deal. Glorify God. I'm just a spokesman. That's all. And Elisha went on back, and Gehazi excused himself. And he turned back, and he went back to Naaman, and he said, well, he lied. He said, you know, there's some prophets there that are in school there with Elisha. And Elisha thought, you know, maybe they could use this stuff. He was going to take it for himself. He had ulterior motives. Ulterior motives. By the way, if you live for ulterior motives, if that's our service motive for God, that'll blow up in our face. It did in Gehazi's eyes. When he got back and God revealed to Elisha what had taken place, Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman be upon you. And it was. You know, you can have a lot of God's... God owns everything, right? He owns the gold. He owns the platinum. He owns the diamonds. He owns the airwaves. He owns everything. All the currency, you know. We think we're in debt to some other countries. We're in debt to God. Amen. He owns it all. And we can have a lot of stuff. And we can think that our life is comfortable. But when someone gets the leprosy of Naaman upon them, I don't care how wealthy you are, it's not going to help. Right. Ulterior motives. Ulterior motives. That's, you know, is it true to say that God takes care of his children? Absolutely. Is it true to say that God blesses as we bless him? Absolutely. Is it true to say that God will honor us as we give to his work, as we give worshipfully, out of a cheerful heart, thanking God for his goodness to us, and we want to give back to the Lord, and we obey the tithe and all of that, and we go beyond that to offerings and mission giving and all that, and can you not give God? No, because God's blessings are mountainous. All that's true. But we can't live on that motive level. We say, okay, this is what God says in his word. When we do that and we obey, simple obedience, let's move beyond the next level of God's blessings. Because we don't serve God for ulterior motives. We don't serve him for that. In all of our lives, there'll be trials. There'll be testings. There'll be hardships and sufferings. That was the case in the Apostle Paul. And you can see that in the chronicle of his sufferings in 2 Corinthians. But if you would turn with me, please, to Ecclesiastes 12. Let's look at the third and the fourth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the third and the fourth tier, before we get to the fifth and last one. Simple obedience. Secondly, our ulterior motives. We see the simple obedience being that of a new Christian. Ulterior motives are God's blessings and his rewards. And by the way, is God going to reward us in heaven? Absolutely. Is that a good reason to keep on keeping on? Well, it's a fact. It's a fact. Is it the best motive to keep on serving God? No, it's not the best one. It's a good one, but it's not the best one. God is going to reward faithfulness one day. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Solomon is penning here, and he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God. You know, probably one of the easiest ways to obey someone is if you are afraid of them. If the Orange City officer walks up beside your car, you know, there should be a little bit of fear. There should be a little bit of fear. It's not just the weapon on his holster. It's not just the pen in his hand. It's the money that you're going to have to pay. There should be some fear. But when we're talking about God, Solomon lived a life that he withheld nothing that he wanted. The riches of Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon, all of that, anything that he wanted, he got. He probably invented the QVC channel. I mean, he owns so much. opulent lifestyle. And he said, when it all comes down to it, listen to me, I'm going to sum it up. Fear God. That's probably an overarching, valid reason to serve God. We should have a fear of God before our eyes. The Bible produces a woe on those who have no fear of God before their eyes. I think it's the closer that we get to God, the more awe-inspired we should be. The more reverent we should be. The more true, holy fear of God we should have. After all, the angels, there in Isaiah chapter 6, they recounted it over and over, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So fear. The problem with just stopping at fear as a motive for serving God, it leaves an impersonal relationship. An impersonal relationship. You know, I just fear God. I don't want Him to zap me. I don't want Him to hurt my children. I don't want Him to hurt my family. I want to hurt... Yes, God, I'll do that. I'll do that. Now, someone who lives in that kind of relationship with God, something's not quite plugged in right. Now, that mixes in. And we should have that awesome fear of God. The Bible says that. But from faith to faith. Living by faith. Growing in Him. So that's number three. We see number four in the same verse. Look at it. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole, what? Duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. Why do you do what you do? Oh, it's what God's given me to do. It's my duty. I'm going to do it. It's my duty. Why do you sing in the choir? Why do you teach Sunday school class? Why do you help in junior church? Why do you serve in the nursery? Why do you serve in the media ministry? Why do you go knocking on doors, handing out Bibles? It's something that God has allowed me to do, and it is my duty. And I'm going to do it not just because I'm afraid of God, but this is something that He has given me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do it. Somebody needs to do it. I'm going to do it. That's a good motive. It's still not the best motive, but it's a good one. And if you mix it in with the other four, simply obeying what God's told us to do. Just, He said it, I'm going to do it. Ulterior motive, well, you cannot outserve God, cannot outgive God, cannot be more faithful than God. He delights in showering His children with His goodness and revealing His love, and so we experience His blessing. But ulterior motives, don't stop there. Don't stop there. And never forget that God is sovereign and He can do what He chooses. And He can decide that you can have a greater impact and influence on certain lives if He allows certain suffering into your family. My wife said this after being able to minister and talk with several nurses. This one young lady, Christina, and this young lady just burst out in tears, just broken, apologizing all over the place. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's so unprofessional. I'm so sorry. And we assured her, you know, that no, that's fine. And Hope said this. She said, "This is probably why God sent me here. Probably would never have crossed paths with this young lady or the other two ladies and many others that she witnessed to, but these three that had great impact on it at the hospital. Perhaps God puts you on assignment for something that has eternal ramifications that you would never have been able to touch were it not for you to say, God, I can't believe You're doing this to me, but I'm going to continue to serve You. I'm going to live in a reverent, awesome fear of Your will, and to say, God, I will serve You because it's my duty to do it. So that's 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you would please look at the last one, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Simple obedience, ulterior motives, fear, duty. John 14. Verse 21, the Bible says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that," what? "Loveth me. And he that," what? "Loveth me shall be," what? "Loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." The greatest overarching, inclusive, comprehensive motive, whatever word you want to give it, the best, the most complete, the most inexhaustible motive for serving Jesus Christ is love. You know, when you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. I mean, anything. If you're in the hospital, you might hear what the nurse said to me one time this past week. I was just helping out, just doing what needed to be done. The nurse turned to look at me and said, "You're hired." Never thought a thing about it. Why? Because I love my wife. I never thought a thing about it. Listen, folks. If we love Jesus Christ, we'll never give it a second thought about what we're doing for him. That's what Jesus said. So yeah, when you first get saved, sure, you're trying to process everything. And you just simply say, okay, I'm going to do what the Bible says because the Bible says to do it. And that's what the preacher said to do. And so I'm going to obey. Okay, that's it. Then as you do that, you find that God is good and his blessings are overwhelming. And then you say, wow, this Christian life is really great. It's really wonderful. God's blessings are coming. And then pretty soon Satan says, okay, that guy is way too loud. We're going to shut him down. Just cut off the blessing, God, and he won't serve you. And we start looking around. Where's the blessings, God? What happened? I'm still doing what you're telling me to do. And God says, you don't serve me because I'm good to you. You serve me because I'm God. And so they hear a message from the pulpit and pastors preaching away and thundering the truth of God. And they come under conviction. They say, oh, I'm sorry, God. You're God. You're my Savior. You died on the cross for me. You shed your blood. And you're coming again. I'm going to stand before you one day. I'm afraid. I'm going to serve you. So they begin serving God again out of fear. And as they grow in God, then they say, you know, I'm walking with God. And I serve him because I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. It's my duty to do this. But you know what can happen at that level? We can just get a little bit proud of all we're doing for God. And if by God's grace he takes us from faith to faith, and we grow in him, and one day we say, Lord, I'm not focused on me or what I'm doing. I'm focusing on you and all that you've done. I love you. I can't do enough for you. So yeah, I fear you. And yeah, I know you can bless me. I know what you said in your word. But I'm serving you because I love you. Satan doesn't have enough weapons to stop love. He doesn't. Let's stand together, please.